So we're in the middle of Sfiras Omer. Am Yisrael is getting ready for Shavuos again. We've been getting ready for Shavuos for over 32 centuries. It's a very powerful idea. We'll discuss that more in a few minutes. Bezus Hashem, we're coming up to Lag BaOmer in 2 weeks. So I thought I would talk about three themes of Lag BaOmer and how they're relevant to our lives. So during Sfira, the minhag is that we keep minhagei avelus during Sfiras HaOmer. Weddings and haircuts, things like that. Why? So the classic reason given is that during Lag BaOmer, during Sfiras HaOmer, Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim died. 12,000 set pairs, 24,000 Talmidim died during this time of the year. And the Masorah is that they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. That's one Masorah. So therefore, we have a celebration on Lag BaOmer. It's a simcha that his Talmidim stopped dying. Okay. It's a very strange idea. Because they stopped dying because there was no one left. You know, more dying, more dying, more dying. 24,000 Talmidim died. Now they all stopped dying. So what's the simcha? The Achronim asked this question. What's the simcha? So all Talmidim died. And so they're none left to die. So if they're none left to die, so they stop dying. So you have a big party when everyone stops dying. There's no one left. That's the Achronim asked that question. So the Pichadosh gives the following answer. V'yefshar she'asimchahi al osam talmidim shehosif acharkach Rabbi Akiva shelo mesu ke'elu. The simcha is not that the 24,000 stopped dying. There was no one left. So that's not a simcha. The simcha is, the Gemara says later in the Gemara, that he found five other Talmidim. And with those other five Talmidim, he reestablished the entire Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh. So this is the Pashup Shad of the Pichadosh. The simcha is that 24,000 died, but not 24,005. Those five didn't die. So Hashem ensured that the Masorah would continue. That's the simcha of Lag BaOmer. The simcha of Lag BaOmer is the survival of the Masorah. That with all the Talmidim and with the terrible tragedy Rabbi Kiva and Am Yisrael had to deal with, Hashem made sure that the Masorah would survive. The Chidah adds on, and this the Gemara doesn't say, the Chidah adds on that his Masorah is that Rabbi Kiva began teaching those five Talmidim on Lag BaOmer itself, that day. But the Chidah writes that the renewal and the reestablishing of the Masorah took place on Lag BaOmer itself. So Lag BaOmer is about the survival of the Masorah, and that is a tremendous simcha. We have a Masorah, many centuries. Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zatzal, the Rav Zatzal, had a beautiful phrase. We all heard the phrase together here in this room a few months ago. He called it the March of Centuries, one of his fabulous phrase. We don't think in terms of a year, 5 years, 10 years. We think in terms of centuries. And the Masorah has survived, and it will continue to survive. Hashem will make sure that it survives. And our job is to make sure that we and our families and our descendants and our Talmidim are in the Masorah. My Rebbe, Rabbi Einemar Zatzal, was Nifter last year, right after Pesach. I spoke about him last year in Yeshiva. So just he spoke about the Masorah all the time. He had a phrase he would use in his sermons called the old-time religion. There's nothing wrong with the old-time religion. And he'd get that message always across. Once in Shir, we were sitting in Shir, this was in the early 80s, and he mentioned that he had just bought a dollhouse for one of his granddaughters. And the dollhouse cost $25. So he said he remembers when he was a child that $25 roughly was the amount you would spend as a down payment for a real house. So in his own lifetime, he's gone from $25 sort of towards a real house to $25 for a dollhouse. Just to update the mashal, nowadays, 30 years later, $25 would buy you the catalog for accessories for the dollhouse. Anyway, that's the modern world. All right, then things change. So Rainer made this comment that $25 used to maybe buy a down payment for a real house. And then he added on, and we're still learning Torah. And it was such a powerful moment, at least for me. Here we are, he's spanned 50, you know, the world's changing, everything's changing. Yeah, but one thing stays the same. We have a Masorah, we're Am Yisrael, we're the Am HaNivchar, we have to learn Torah. That's the Masorah. My mother should live and be well. So she spoke at my oldest nephew's bar mitzvah. And she spoke about the Masorah. I don't know to her where and she's been in my Rebbe Inver shul for many years, so maybe that's where she got it from. And she got up and she said in front of the whole shul that this bar mitzvah validates my life, my mother said. Because she said you try to raise your kids and do the right thing. But how do you know? But then when your grandson, he's made a siyum on something in Mishnayos and he's serving Hashem, when your grandson's doing well, that really shows that you're successful in being in the Masorah. My grandmother, Olah Shalom, would always say, she was quoting, there was some secular Jewish writer who said this in the 1800s or early, but she would quote him that, you know, according to Halacha, if your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish. But a better definition of being Jewish is whether your grandchildren are Jewish. My grandmother would like quoting that. She was proud of her grandchildren. That's the Masorah. That's what Lag BaOmer is all about. And we have to make sure that we do things, and we'll discuss this more, and make decisions in life that'll make sure that we stay in the Masorah for us and for our families, Bezrat Hashem. And this is what Yah, this is all about. There's a famous, famous essay from Mark Twain. You have to read this essay. Aish made this famous. It's in there. Aish has a book, Aish HaTorah, called Discovery, where they write in a book the highlights of their discovery program. It's a great book to have in your house. You'd want your kids to read it. Baruch Hashem, the one in my house is falling apart. Baruch Hashem. Everyone reads it. So they have Mark Twain's famous essay, where he writes about this topic. He writes well. And he basically says, you know, all the different nations have risen and fallen, the Romans, the Greeks, and the Jews are still here. All things are mortal but the Jews. What is the secret of their immortality? That's the way he ends the essay. Well, the answer is, Hashem's the secret. The Torah is the secret. Hashem ensures the survival of the Masorah, and it's our job to learn Torah and be connected with the Masorah, and that's Jewish survival. That's Lag BaOmer. One theme of Lag BaOmer is the Masorah, the survival of the Jew, and that's what we're celebrating. That we're celebrating that despite what happened to the Kivus Talmidim, we're still here many centuries later, and we are in this march of centuries, and it's our job to keep it going. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two of Lag BaOmer is, and this actually Rav Pavarsky Shlita said, it was either last year or 2 years ago when we went, he made to the Gedolim in Bnei Brak, he emphasized this point, and it's which is, Rabbi Akiva, what a tragedy. 24,000 Talmidim. That's a lifetime of work. For most people, that's like, I don't know, 100 lifetimes of work that he put into his Talmidim. Rachmana Litzlan, if a person's a Rebbe, Rachmana Litzlan, he has a Talmud who's Nifter. It's a tragedy, and someone, Lo Aleinu, who dies at a younger age, and when they're still in their prime of life, it's a tremendous tragedy. You're a Rebbe, 24,000 Talmidim. Person is broken. Totally broken. Yeush. How could you go on? How could you live the next day? How could you go on? And Rabbi Akiva, according to the Chidah, as that very day, Lag BaOmer starts teaching 5 new Talmidim. Rabbi Akiva becomes, this is what Pavarsky said, beautiful pshat, a lesson for us in the finding the heroic strength to overcome obstacles and start again. A person faces, Lo Aleinu, a person faces a tragedy in life, and it's difficult, and it's a challenge, and you don't know what to do next exactly, and it's so hard, but that heroic strength to continue, not just to continue, Rabbi Akiva literally rebuilt the whole Torah Shebaal Peh. Those new five, the Achronim say, the new 5 Tanaim he found, Tanaim, they built most of Torah Shebaal Peh. Rabbi Akiva, after going through such a difficult parsha in his life, it's literally unimaginable. It's unimaginable for the 24,000 Talmidim. And yet, he started again. Rabbi Akiva is a symbol for a person who goes a difficulty in life. He starts again, and he works hard, he overcomes. We just had a tremendous lesson in this when Mrs. Waxman spoke. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. That was an Emunah seminar just by itself. the whole world's lighting an extra candle in for the schluss of her son, saying an extra tefillah, and 2 hours later she finds out that her son was murdered. 2 hours, 3 hours later, and her amuna is rock solid. It's very impressive. The guys asked questions. The questions were very on the mark, very appropriate, and the answers, the amuna that's there, it's unbelievable. The amuna, the complete, strong amuna in the face of such a tragedy. It's a lesson for all of us. That's Lag BaOmer. That's Lag BaOmer. That's Rabbi Akiva. You face unimaginable tragedy, and you have the amuna, and go on, and you're spreading amuna chizuk the whole world afterwards. It's an incredible thing. It was 2 hours, 3 hours later. You're davening, extra davening, extra tefillos, a candle, everyone's lighting a candle, and 3 hours later, you know, like she said, Hashem said no, but she found the strength, she has found the strength to continue, not just to continue, but to give chizuk to thousands of people all over the world. That's Lag BaOmer. So many people, we don't wish nisyonos, we daven not to have nisyonos, it's in our tefillos more than once, we daven not to have nisyonos, but people have nisyonos. On Lag BaOmer, we have to say to ourselves, if Rabbi Akiva could do it, and he, whatever I'm facing, his tragedy was at least 1,000, 10,000 times worse. And a person, Lag BaOmer is a time to say, you know what, I can conquer this, and I can do better, and I can start again. A person has a difficulty and is an avodas Hashem. I can overcome this. Sometimes a person, he's in yeshiva, shana bet, problem with his learning. I don't know, my learning's not developing as well as it could be, maybe, and maybe I don't get shiur fully like I'd want to, or this or that. You know, okay, so people say count your blessings. So count your problems. Baruch Hashem, that's your problem. The problem you're facing is you're in yeshiva at the end of shana bet, towards the end of shana bet, and you're growing, and you wish you could grow in learning a little more. So good. So work on it. So you can put the effort in, talk to your Rebbeim, how to make a better plan. Well, halavai, that should be everyone, that should be a problem, that I'm working, I'm in yeshiva, heading up towards Shavuos. The Avnemetzel Sefer on Shavuos is particularly tremendous. He has every yesod about Shavuos, about Lima Torah, and it's so clear. I'm telling you, you get it. I'm rereading it. I reread it again every year. Tremendous. I just read it over again on Shabbos. All the yesodos of Shavuos and what we're thanking Hashem for. And he talks about, you thank Hashem for giving you the Torah. People in yeshiva, boys learning Torah, we should thank Hashem for getting, we're learning Torah all the time. We should be dancing in the streets more than anyone. When we celebrate Shavuos this year, celebrating Shavuos as a Ben Torah in yeshiva should be a whole different celebration. Because we're able to learn Torah the whole day, most of the day, the whole day. Dancing for joy. That's why you have a big meal on Shavuos. To show Hashem, I'm happy that I got people that are depressed and down, don't enjoy a big meal. It's hard to enjoy a big meal. This is the Ksav Sofer says. It's hard to enjoy a meal when you're depressed. You might grab a candy bar, and then two hours later you feel more depressed. But to really sit and enjoy a good meal, you can't when you're down and stressed out. So on Shavuos, why do we have a big meal? To show I'm not stressed out, I'm happy to get the Torah. So B'nai Yeshiva should have an extra big meal on Shavuos and to show they're happy to get the Torah. So so if I'm struggling with this problem, okay, Baruch Hashem, that's my problem. And thank Hashem, and I can overcome it, I can do better. And I can conquer that. If I can conquer that challenge, then I can conquer anything. And that's a second lesson of Lag BaOmer. The lesson of Rav Pabarsky explained, the heroic strength to overcome a tragedy and continue and keep on fighting and keep on working. And if a person had to deal with a personal tragedy, Lag BaOmer is a time to say, you know what, I can start again and I can do it.
An excellent example of this, really in our era, is Rav Kahaneman Zatzal, the former Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich. He survived the Holocaust. During the Holocaust, most of his family was wiped out. All of the institutions he had built in Europe were destroyed. And he comes to Israel. And he decides to rebuild. And there's a famous story. He was walking in Panovich. And he saw a hill. And he said to the guy, person next to him, what do you see? And the person said, I see a hill. And he said, I see a yeshiva with 1,000 Talmidim. That strength of Rav Kahaneman to start again Where is the source of that strength? Where is the root of that strength? It comes from Rabbi Akiva, by Lag BaOmer. That's Lag BaOmer. That's the survival of the Masorah, and that's the heroic strength to overcome even the greatest challenges and difficulties.
That's theme number two. On Lag BaOmer, in Israel especially, there is a widespread custom to light bonfires, Medurot. Where does this custom come from? So I'm sure there are many deep explanations. The simple explanation, the Sefer Todah says, the simple explanation is as follows. Our tradition has it that Lag BaOmer is the day that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died. My understanding is the earliest reference of that is in Rav Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Arizal, that he died on Lag BaOmer. Okay. And so what? We don't celebrate the deaths of great tzaddikim. Adarab, it's a yahrzeit. It's not a time. It's not a happy thing. So why are we celebrating Lag BaOmer and building bonfires? So again, the simple explanation is that the tradition has it. This is the Masorah, that the day that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died, he revealed the secrets of the Zohar, many secrets of Torah. So the day of his death became a day when much light of Torah was spread to the world. Oh, one second. Yeah. So we're not celebrating the death of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. We're celebrating the Torah, which he brought down to the world. And the Torah is the light that we need in Olam Hazeh, and that's why you build bonfires. At night, it's dark, you have this huge bonfire, lights up everything. So the bonfire is the light of the Torah that is supposed to guide us in Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is always compared to Choshech. In Chazal, Olam Hazeh is compared to Choshech. And the Mesillas Yesharim likes to quote this. Olam Hazeh is confusing. Nighttime is confusing. When it's nighttime, you can't tell. You see something, is it a person? Is it a lamppost? You can't tell what it is. You're all confused. You have a flashlight? Oh, then you have clarity. Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. So we go through life in Olam Hazeh. It's a very confusing life, Olam Hazeh. And the only thing that gives us clarity is the light of the Torah. That's what we're celebrating Lag BaOmer. That just like the light of this fire is lighting up the whole neighborhood, so I should let the light of that Torah and give me guidance in Olam Hazeh. When we say at the Seder that Hashem took us, Me'afela Lior Gadol, Me'afela Lior Gadol, that's a reference, Rav Shechter always says, that's a reference to Matan Torah. Whenever you see the phrase, Or Gadol, that's the Torah is lighting up Olam Hazeh. And this is the third lesson of Lag BaOmer, that we have to let the Torah in and guide our lives. Olam Hazeh is very confusing. You guys are here, Baruch Hashem, for 2 years. There's a lot of clarity when you're in yeshiva. Then you go back out to the outside world, not to the real world. The world of Avodas Hashem is the real world. Rav Nevin Sol Shlita's life is very, very, very real. It's more real than all of our lives. I don't like the term the real world. It's the outside world. When you go to the outside world, as opposed to the inside world, it's confusing. The right choices to make, it's very hard. And we have to always say, what would the Torah say about this? What would Hashem say about this? We have to train ourselves to say, we have to go through Olam Hazeh using the light of the Torah. Last week I spoke about Gaiva. I spoke about cleaning up iPods. And so in the last week, two guys spoke to me, very serious conversations, very serious, down-to-earth conversations, having the Torah home, and I don't know, a TV, yes, no, and discussion. I was so happy that guys are thinking about this. That's what you have to think about. How to navigate in Olam Hazeh. Because, well, you know, everyone's like this, and how am I going to be different? These are good questions to ask. Yeah, so ask and discuss and try to have the light of Torah give you guidance in your life. I was so happy that two guys, should be more, hopefully, Bezat Hashem. These are the questions to be thinking about. I want to let the Torah guide me. Olam Hazeh is very, very confusing. Things are changing all the time. And the one constant thing is the Torah that has to guide us. I mean, the mashals are obvious. I went to Israel in the 1980s. No cell phones, no email. I grew up a modern person. I'm from Maryland, Silver Spring, Maryland. So the guys in yeshiva thought like it's like a hick town, and like my parents came to visit, felt like my my father wearing overalls and, like, you know, eating a piece of straw. Like, that's what they were expecting. You know, farms everywhere. We live in a normal, you know, ordinary, very, very nice, wonderful city and town, Baruch Hashem. But that's where I was from. But I grew up in the modern world. But, you know, we didn't need cell phones and email, and we survived. And, you know, and, like, the world's totally different. The average person nowadays just talks a lot more than they used to. No, there's no comparison. I heard this, Rav Tversky Shlita made this comment once. He once said, Rav Tversky, he's sharp. He goes, people are certainly talking much more than they used to. There's no question. You're always talking. When I was your age, unless there was someone to talk to as you're walking down the street, you weren't talking all the time. You're in the car, you weren't talking. You were whatever. And he said, the question is, you know, do we have so much more to say than the people did 30 years ago? You know, is everything, suddenly we have so much more to say, so everyone's talking more. So it's something to think about. The whole world's different. You're always connected with other people. And with email and Facebook and tremendous, the whole world's changing. And blueberries. I'll tell you one other board Rav Tversky says. Well, not blueberries, sorry, blackberries. Blackberries. This is such a sharp board. Rav Tversky is so, his muscles are, the world's always changing. There's a famous Tosfos in Brachos. You have to learn that Tosfos before Shavuos comes. He raises the famous question, how come by Birchas HaTorah, so you say a bracha in the morning, and then you go off, let's say you learn, you go off to work, you come back, you don't say another Birchas HaTorah when you start learning again. You take a break from learning, you don't say a new Birchas HaTorah. On Sukkos, you do. Sukkos, you eat in the Sukkah breakfast, make a Leishei Pasukkah, you finish, you leave your Sukkah for a couple of hours, go on a Tiyul, you come home, make a new Leishei Pasukkah. How come Torah is different than Sukkah? Good question. That's the Kasha of Tosfos. Tosfos gives an answer. The gist of the answer is, you're never miyayish daito from learning. Somehow you're always connected. What exactly he means, the Achronim discussed, you're always connected with your learning somehow. Even when you're away from the Sefer, you're always connected with your learning. So there's never a real hesach hadas from learning. So even though I'm not learning right now, but when I come back to learn 3 hours later, it isn't really a new thing. It's much more of a hemshech, a continuation. So I don't make a new Birchas HaTorah. That's the famous Tosfos. By Sukkah, when you leave the Sukkah, you finish the Sukkah, you come back later, it's a new thing. But by Torah, you're always connected. So what's Tosfos saying? That when it comes to learning, even when you're not learning, you're supposed to feel connected to your learning. Oh. And you have blackberries. Guys at work, works a whole day, like 9 to 6, 9 to 7, gets home, comes home, he eats dinner, spends time with his kids, spends time with his wife, relaxes, four things. Dinner, kids, wife, relax. If you're in a healthy marriage, 3 and 4 go together. Okay, healthy marriage. And then you go out to learn for an hour and a half. You go to learn, you're in the Beis Medrash, you're in the middle of your learning, and the blackberry vibrates. And you're back at work. And he said, it's mamish, the opposite of what it's supposed to be. The way it is now with blackberries, even when we're learning, we're still connected to our work. Tremendous insight. It's a problem. And so he was talking about how to try to deal with that and overcome that. So the world's totally changing. Mom, it's literally the opposite of Tosfos. As opposed to when you're working, you think you're linked up with your learning. Even when you're hopefully learning, you're linked up with your work. Very sharp comment. So what's the point? Well, the point is, the world's always changing. All the time, you need the guidance of the Torah. You have to always ask your Rabban, and you always ask, what's the halacha? What should I do now? You have to always be asking, what would the Torah ask of me now? That's Lag BaOmer. You're staring at this big fire, they're lighting up the whole night. It's supposed to be saying to us, my Kabbalah on Lag BaOmer is, my Simcha is, I'm going to be asking, what do I need to do to navigate through Olam Hazeh? But it's very confusing. And a lot of big questions and challenges. So these are three themes of Lag BaOmer. The survival of the Masorah, the heroic strength to overcome difficulties, and letting the light of the Torah guide us in our lives. There's a story, I may have told it here before, I'll just mention it again, it ties all these ideas together. I think it's a story, I heard this on a tape from Shlomo Karabach, Alav Shalom, and later, it's in one of his books, the 36, it's in his books. And actually the book is exactly the same as the story on the tape, so which I guess makes sense because so the story goes that the Kalina Rebbe one time was trying to daven, and he said, we're not davening here in our town, we're going to go somewhere else to daven today. and they're going, and they get on the wagon, the Hasidim, and they're going to one town, the next town, getting later and later and later, getting dark, and finally, it's around midnight, and they're at the town. He says, "Here we're going to daven." And they get into this town. They have to find a place to daven. They have to find out like a place for all the Hasidim together. So they come to an inn, and they ask at the inn, "We're going to daven here." So the innkeeper comes out, the very, very old man. Very old man comes out, and they say, "Can we use your inn to daven?" He goes, "Yeah, you can use my area to pray." And they start davening, and the Kalinar Hasidim, they yell when they daven. They're yelling and davening and yelling and davening and yelling. And it wakes up, the whole town wakes up, and they're so inspired, all these guys yelling, and they come down, and they bring fruit to the Rebbe and to the Hasidim, and they start praying to their God also, and it's a huge Kiddush Hashem. Everyone's davening and yelling and praying to God in their own way. And then it's over, and they're about to leave. So as they're about to leave, the Rebbe says, turns to the innkeeper and says, "Nu, what do you have to tell me?" And the innkeeper says, "Today is my 107th birthday. When I was 7 years old, the Baal Shem Tov came to this inn. My grandfather, my great-grandfather was the innkeeper. And he came in with his Hasidim, and they prayed here, and everyone came down, and all the townspeople came down and prayed together with the Baal Shem Tov and his Hasidim. And when he was finished, the Baal Shem Tov gave me a blessing. Rav Karlbach says he put his holy hands on my little head." That's the way he talks. "Holy hands on my little head, and he gave me a blessing, and he said, 'You're going to live a long life. And when my Talmidim come here, tell them I was here before them.'" So 100 years later, the Baal Shem Tov's Talmidim came to the same place and did the same thing. This innkeeper was there 100 years later. That's Yadlis. That's the Masola. If we can find a way, if we live our lives the way our great-great-great-great-grandparents lived their lives, and then, Mir Hashem, if our children and grandchildren live their lives the same way, we're going to be doing okay. That's Lag BaOmer. That's the Mesorah. And that's only going to happen if you say to yourself, "I'm going to let the Torah guide me through Olam Hazeh." Because if not, it's so confusing. Everything's changing so fast. Who knows what's going to happen next? If we can find a way that I'm going to try to live my life the same dedication to the Mesorah and the Torah and the Halacha the way my great-great-grandparents did, we're going to be okay. And in 100 years, they'll say, "Yeah, your great-great-grandfather did the same thing." Okay, we'll stop here.